I read this week, I don't know where I saw it, that the polar plunge is coming up. And anybody ever participate in anything like that? Y'all are crazy. There are two ways to enter, really a pool at any time, but especially when it's cold. Two ways to enter. You can do the thing where you like sort of slowly wade in and get acclimated to it, or you just straight up cannonball in, right? The reason I bring that up, we're going to pretty much just cannonball right into Mark chapter 1 this morning. I don't have any like good lead up to you. We're just going to jump right in, okay? We're really just picking up where we left off last week. If you weren't here last week or you haven't been here or you're new, we're going through the Gospel of Mark. And last week, we looked at Jesus's, how he showed up on the scene, not just saying he had authority, not just announcing he had authority, but actually proving that he had power and authority. Okay, and actually, I'm going to back up into a verse that we kind of, we covered it last week, but not in a lot of detail. This is verse 39, Mark chapter 1. It says, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And as we saw last week, as he was doing that, word got out that Jesus was, hey, there's this guy in town, and he's like telling demon-possessed people that they're not allowed to be possessed anymore. He's telling sick people they're not allowed to be sick anymore. And as you can imagine, like the crowds were coming to Jesus. Like, what is this man? Like, who is he? Right, they're enthralled, they're intrigued, they're interested. And so we read this in verse 40. We'll pick up our text for today. It says, and a leper came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Okay, so a man with leprosy comes to Jesus. And as a leper, he would have been suffering in several ways. Okay, there was the physical problem of leprosy. Right? The word leprosy, or to be a leper itself, it really was a word that referred to a wide variety of like skin diseases. Everything from it could have been infections, it could have been lesions, boils, parasites. I mean, it covered a whole lot of basically like things that were going on with your skin. Okay. So like before we get to anything else, there's just like the physical pain, suffering, discomfort of being a leper. Okay? Then on top of that, you've got the social problem of leprosy. Right? To be a leper meant that you weren't allowed to be near people. Right? Because it was believed that you were contagious. Now sometimes they were, sometimes they weren't, but it was believed that you were contagious, so you had to keep your distance from people. So to be a leper meant that you were cut off from every meaningful relationship you had, right? If you had a family, you're no longer allowed to be near your family, right? You're no longer allowed to approach where there's crowds of people. You're not allowed to be near people, right? You guys thought social distancing started in 2020, right? Not true, right? You weren't allowed to be near people. And then along the same lines, because you were like forced to keep your distance, you weren't allowed to like participate in some of the most basic elements of society, right? Lepers would not have been able to go to work, right? They would not have been able to participate in things like buying and selling in the marketplaces. Like, they would have just been like cut off from everything, right? All the things that give you a sense of belonging, like relationships, or give you a sense of meaning and purpose, like work, and right, like you weren't allowed to participate in any of those things as a leper. Hey, and if that weren't shame-inducing enough, lepers were required by the Old Testament law, they were required to sort of publicly display and announce their leprosy. Okay? So we read this in Leviticus chapter 13, right? Probably your favorite book of the Bible. Here's what Moses writes, Leviticus 13, verse 45. He says, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. All right, fun story here. One of my most embarrassing moments in church was, I think I was a senior in college, and the church I went to growing up, they put on this big, it was just a regular Sunday morning service, but they were teaching through this series on like the temple and being in the presence of God and the tabernacle and all that. And so they actually my dad was really instrumental in building this sort of scaled down version of the tabernacle. And for whatever reason, the pastor, who I love dearly, God rest his soul, decided he wanted to have a sermon where someone acted out the part of a leper. guess who got picked? So there was a part in the sermon, like the church didn't know this was going on. He's talking about leprosy and lepers, and there's a part where I just had to like burst in the door. I had like the latex boils all over my face, you know, and just had to start crying out, "I'm unclean!" It was awful, okay? And I wasn't really even unclean. Right? Now, so take that and imagine, like, to really be a leper, like, you, like, if you were in a public place, you were required not only to look disheveled, not only to leave your stuff uncovered so people knew you were unclean, but you had to yell and announce, right? HIPAA was not a thing in the Old Testament, right? You had to let everyone, know. But the biggest issue of all being a leper was not the physical pain. It wasn't the social problems that came with it. The biggest problem with being a leper was the spiritual problem, right? Because to be a leper was a significant, it came with some spiritual connotations to it. If you notice, this man, when he asked Jesus to kind of work, he doesn't say, "Jesus, will you heal me?" Right? Look at what the text says. He actually says, "If you will, you can make me clean." Right? That's significant. Because lepers were not just considered like sick or ill. Ill, that's something that swims in the ocean. Ill. They were not considered sick or ill. Right? They were considered unclean, like spiritually unclean. Okay? And one of the reasons is because as a leper, again, you're not allowed to be around people. Had to keep your distance. And so lepers were not allowed to participate in temple worship. All the things that you do at the temple to sort of atone for your sin, the offering of sacrifices, and like they weren't allowed to participate in that. And so because they weren't allowed to participate, because they weren't allowed to offer the necessary sacrifices for their sin, they were basically viewed as spiritually unclean, cut off from God, and condemned. Right, Leviticus 13, verse 46 gives us really a summary of the life of a leper. It says, "He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." I mean, in like every realm of life, to be a leper in the first century, like physically, socially, spiritually, it was to be like an outcast. Right, you were an outsider. You were other than, right? You were lesser than. Right, so you can imagine the kind of desperation this guy must feel whenever he hears that Jesus, this guy named Jesus, is in town and he's healing people and he's casting out demons. You can imagine the desperation this guy must feel knowing he's actually not allowed to approach Jesus. He's not allowed to get close to him, but he still shows up anyways. And he's like, "If you will, you can make me clean." He's taking a risk doing this. Okay, and Jesus sees the desperation in this man. Look at verse 41. "Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.'" Verse 42 says, "And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean." I mean, like, God in his infinite wisdom has designed the human body to work the way it does, okay? Now, sometimes I have questions about that, like, what does the appendix do? Why can we just remove it and it not be a big deal? But anyways, beside the point, God has designed the body to work the way that it does. And one of the things that God has designed us to experience as human beings is touch, right? If you, I looked up this week, like, what are some of the effects of human touch? Okay, and because I read it on the internet, I'm going to assume it's true. God created our bodies in such a way that when we experience human touch, one of the things it does is it releases chemicals that lowers anxiety and stress. Okay, human touch can actually lessen pain and improve pain tolerance. Okay, so maybe there's something more to our kids when they get hurt. There's something more than just wanting to be comforted by mom and dad. Like maybe there's something physically that happens in them. They want to crawl up in mom and dad's lap and be like held. Okay, there's research that says human touch supports and boosts the immune system. All right, so again, maybe social distancing wasn't a great idea after all. I never know if it's too soon to make those jokes or not. Might be too soon. Okay. Human touch improves sleep, right? It increases emotional security. Right? Human touch boosts feelings of self-worth. Human touch combats loneliness, depression, and cognitive decline. Okay? And so you have to wonder, this man as a leper, prior to this moment, like how long had it been since he had been touched by another human being? Like how long had it been since he had experienced any of those things that are the benefit of physical touch? And we don't know much about this guy. We don't get his backstory. But if he had a family, let's say he's married, how long had it been since he had been able to like just hold his wife? How long had it been since he'd been able to scoop up his kids in his arms? This is a desperate man, like desperate, desperate man. He wasn't allowed to get close to others. And again, because he wasn't allowed to participate in the worship at the temple and the sacrifices, it's almost as if he wasn't even allowed to get close to God. And yet here in this moment, Jesus, God incarnate, God wrapped in flesh, moves toward him. Right, the text says he doesn't pull away like everyone else would have. He doesn't keep his distance like everyone else would have. He doesn't turn up his nose in disgust as everyone else would. He doesn't sort of take the long way around to avoid getting too close. No, the Son of God, God wrapped in flesh, reaches out and he touches him. Right? And think about this. Jesus could have healed him from a distance. If you were here last week, we saw Jesus cast out a demon in the synagogue, and all he did was just speak. Right? He just tells the demon to be quiet, be silent, and leave, and the demon flees. Right? Jesus could have spoken and made this man clean, but he doesn't do that. Right? He reaches out, and he touches him. Right, Jesus did what he's already done in his birth. He did what he would continue to do throughout his ministry. He did what he's still doing today. Jesus moved toward the mess. Just walked right towards it, man. And so Jesus reaches out and he touches this guy. And according to the law, right, to touch a leper was to become unclean like them. Okay, again, you can, like there was a fear that you would, you possibly could contract whatever, disease they had, flesh-eating bacteria, parasites, whatever, infection, you could have contracted it. Okay, but even if you didn't, even if you touched a leper and nothing happened, there was still this sort of idea that when you touched someone who was a leper, you became unclean like them. Right, to touch an unclean person was to become unclean, right? To be like it was a guarantee that you were going to be cut off, shamed, and treated as a leper was. Right, but that's not what happens here. Like Jesus reaches out and touches this guy, and instead of the leper transferring his uncleanness to Jesus, Jesus transfers his cleanness to the leper. And in an instant, right? The Mark's favorite word, as we go through the Gospel of Mark, Mark loves the word immediately, right? Mark's got places to be. He's like, we gotta get the show on the road. Mark says, immediately, he's healed, right? Immediately, he's made clean. His physical pain is gone. His All of a sudden, his relationships are able to be restored. Everything this man's been missing for who knows how long. And because Jesus' primary concern is always spiritual restoration, the first thing he does is he sends this man to the priest so that he can be restored into the worship community. That's what we see in verse 43. It says, Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." So you got two commands here. First is, see that you say nothing to anyone. Okay, now, deal with this quickly because we kind of talked about this last week. Jesus' primary mission was actually not to heal people of their sicknesses, to cast out them. Like, it's not his primary mission. We talked all about that last week. Okay, you can go back and watch the sermon if you missed it. Now, does he do those things? Yes, obviously. Okay, he's doing them here, did them last week. He's going to do a lot more of them in the book of Mark. But they're not the main thing, right? The main thing, the primary reason Jesus came, in his own words, this is earlier in chapter 1, he came to proclaim, right, to preach, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, to proclaim that the kingdom of God was near, and to call people to repent and believe. That's Jesus' primary purpose. Okay, so the reason that Jesus tells this guy, hey, see to it that you say nothing to anyone, like go straight to the priest, is because as people would like see healing or they see these signs and wonders, they'd go tell everybody else, and all of a sudden you've got a crowd of people showing up that really all they want is just to be impressed by some stuff. They want to see Jesus do some cool things. But crowds of people that just want to be sort of impressed and entertained actually made it harder for Jesus to do the very thing that he came to do. Right? So that's the reason he says, hey, see that you say nothing to anyone. But there's a second command there. He tells them, go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Right? Even in this second command, there's kind of two things happening. First, and most importantly, Jesus is, he's telling this man how to be restored into the worship community. Right? The Old Testament law had plenty of restrictions for lepers, right? That's Leviticus 13 and 14. If you want to read all about that, you want some light afternoon reading, you can do that. I would recommend you read it before lunch, especially if you're queasy, because there's a lot of stuff about like bodily fluids and discharges. You probably don't want any of that while you're eating lunch. But there's a lot of detail about the restrictions for lepers in those two chapters. But there's also lepers were able to be restored into the worship community. And part of that restoration was they would have to go to the priests, and the priest would have to examine them to make sure the leprosy was gone before they could be restored to worship. Which, like, I've got questions about that. Like, why are we asking the priest to be the medical examiner? Was one of my questions. Right, listen, I'm thankful we live under the new covenant. We don't live under the Old Testament law in the same ways anymore. Because I'm going to, like, if you come to me after church, you're like, bro, Joe, I got this rash. I need you to check it out. I'm probably, just depends on what day you catch me on. I might say yes, but I'm probably going to be, nah, not interested. Okay, you need to go see a doctor. But Jesus, like, he's not abolishing the Old Testament law. He's saying, okay, for you to be restored to the worship community, you've got to go to the priest and you've got to let him examine you to make sure that you are healed. So pay attention to what Jesus is doing. Like, he's concerned with the man's physical pain. He's concerned with like the social dilemma this man's been in, his relationships that he's not been allowed to be a part of. But Jesus' primary concern is this man's relationship with God. His primary concern is this man would be able to return to the temple to offer his sacrifices, to participate in worship, because Jesus' primary concern is always spiritual. It's always spiritual. But there's another thing that happens here. So Jesus, yes, tells the man to go be restored into into temple worship. But he also says he wants him to go to the priest and show himself as healed as a proof to them. And yes, it's a proof that he's healed, but it actually goes deeper than that. Because it's also proof that Jesus is the one with the authority to heal, with the power to heal. Right? He's telling this man, hey, go show the priest that I have the ability, the power to make unclean things clean again. And this puts, the priest and the religious leaders in a bit of a pickle. Because the priest, when he examines this guy, he either has to ignore the objective evidence that this man that was once unclean, once a leper, has now been made clean. He either has to ignore that, ignore the law, refuse this man's right to return to worship, or he has to acknowledge and affirm that Jesus really does have the authority and the power to heal. That Jesus really does have the authority and the power that the religious leader said that only belongs to God. It's going to force the priest's hand. Okay, and this is like Jesus is out here playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, right? It's really what's going on here. Right, and this is going to set up a series of confrontations that we're going to look at in the next few weeks between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day, right? It'll be a great time. You should be here for it, right? Now, we actually don't know if this man obeyed Jesus' command to go to the temple. We have no idea. What we do know is that he disobeyed Jesus' command to not tell anyone. Right? You look at verse 45. It says, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. Right? Even though Jesus gives this man a stern warning and says, hey, don't tell anybody what's happened here. The man goes out and evidently he just told everybody what happened. Right? And we get it, right? Like if you've got leprosy and you interact with this man named Jesus and all of a sudden you don't have leprosy anymore, you're going to tell some people about it. Right? I mean, gosh, you can't even go eat a good meal without telling somebody about it, right? Like part of praise is we've got to tell someone else about what we've experienced. Otherwise, it feels like it's all just bottled up inside. And so this man receives healing, receives cleansing, and he goes out and he tells everybody, this is what Jesus has done for me. Jesus has brought healing. He's brought cleansing to me. But in order to land the plane, and I know I say that all the time, I actually want to take you, I know you guys made fun of me when my ribs were broken and I couldn't land the plane with my arms. I get it. My rib's still broken, but it's feeling better. I'm good, okay? I want to take you back up, though, 30,000 feet for a second, because there's actually, when you kind of zoom out and look at this story, there's this incredible thing that happens. Right, I want to try to show it to you. The story began, verse 40. It began with this man who's a leper. And as a leper, he's unclean, he's an outcast, an outsider, he is not welcome. Right? He wasn't allowed to openly enter a town. He was forced to live in the outskirts. He boldly approaches Jesus and he just asks to be made clean. And then notice how the story ends. The man who started as an outcast has now been restored into his relationships. He's been restored into his relationship with God. He's been restored to the worship community. No longer an outcast. But now Jesus is the outcast. No longer able to openly enter a town. Forced to live out in the desolate places. What's happened here is the leper and Jesus have effectively traded places. And you would be hard-pressed to find a better picture of the gospel than that. Here's the reality. Every one of us in this room, everyone under the sound of my voice, either once was or is currently in a similar position as the leper. Right? We Like, and our problem is not just, it's not just a problem with our skin. It's not that, right? It's deeper than that, right? Our problem is not sickness, illness. Our problem is sin. Like, we're all infected, or we're all still infected with some of the remnants of it, even if we have come to Jesus, right? We all have this problem of sin. We've all sinned and rebelled against a holy God, and as a result, we are unholy. We are blemished. We are unclean, just as this leper was. And apart from the cleansing, healing, saving touch of Jesus, like, we remain cut off from God and condemned. Right? That was this leper's story. Right? But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus willingly trades place with us. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21, one of my absolute favorite verses for just trying to explain the truth of the gospel to people. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "For our sake," right, for our benefit, for our good, for our cleansing, for our restoration, "He," that's God, "made him," that's Jesus, "God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." In our story here in Mark, Jesus stretched out his hand, he touches the leper, and immediately, right, his perfect cleanness, that's a word, was transferred to this unclean man. Right? In the same way, when we repent of our sin, when we throw ourselves fully on to the mercy of Jesus, when we come to Jesus in faith and say, "You can make me clean," that's exactly what he does. Exactly what he does. Like, at the cross, Jesus took upon himself every ounce of our sin, every bit of it, all of our unrighteousness, all of our uncleanness. And the moment we cry out to him, the moment that we ask to be made clean, Jesus gives us his perfect cleanness, his perfect righteousness. Right? He trades places with us. Right, on the cross, Jesus received what you deserved so that through him, you could receive what he deserves. That's the story of the gospel. That's what Christ has come to do. Right, the good news of the gospel can be summed up in four words: Jesus in my place. Jesus in my place. So as we kind of close, I can't help but wonder if maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're not a Christian, right? Or maybe you're kind of like close, like you're kind of leaning in, like you're intrigued by Jesus, you're interested by Jesus, but the thing that sort of keeps you at a distance, or the kind of the obstacle in the way, is this idea that you are aware of your uncleanness, and you're like, "Man, I got to get myself cleaned up before I can come to this Jesus. I got to get myself cleaned up before Jesus would want anything to do with me." Right? I hear it when people make comments sometimes about, like, "Man, I can't go to church; the roof would fall in." Right? We've all heard that one. Right? This idea that, like, if I'm going to show up, if I'm going to draw near, I got to get some of this stank off of me first. Okay? And or maybe you're here and you are a Christian. Right? You have cried out, "Jesus, make me clean," but you're here and you're just in a season of, like, sin and rebellion, seasons that we all have gone through at various points. Maybe you're like you feel compelled, like, to come home, to confess, to repent, to draw near, but, like, deep within you, there's this same thought. "Man, I can't. I've gone too far. I've done too much. I'm too unclean. Right, if I'm going to come home, I got to get myself cleaned up first. Because if Jesus comes near me or Jesus sees me, like, he's going to turn up his nose in disgust. Or he'd be embarrassed by me. All right, he'd be put off by who I am, who I've become, what I've done. And I would just say, man, if either of those describes you this morning, let me try to free you up a bit. Your sin, your mess, your uncleanness is the very thing that qualifies you to come to Jesus. If you aren't keenly aware of just how unclean you are, or if you think like it's up to you to sort of pick yourself up, figure it out, clean yourself, dust yourself off, and then come to Jesus. Like if you aren't keenly aware of how unclean you really are, Jesus has nothing to offer you. Right? If you think it's up to you to kind of pay off your deeds and your sin with sort of religious activity, like Jesus has nothing to offer you. Right? There's a reason that Jesus opens his longest recorded Sermon on the Mount. Very first words of the sermon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's only those who know how spiritually bankrupt they are that can actually receive anything from Jesus in the first place. Right, so let me just say this plainly. Jesus is not embarrassed by you. Jesus is not disgusted by you. Jesus is not put off by your sin and your uncleanness. Those are the very things that Jesus came to deal with at the cross. And so the invitation to you is to be like this leper, not to keep your distance, right? Not to say, man, I can't risk it. Right? But to take a risk and to come near, to draw near to Jesus and to say, Jesus, you are able to make me clean. Will you? And I can already tell you the answer. So maybe you're here this morning and you need to come to Christ. Like there's nothing stopping you. You cannot out-sin the cross of Jesus. Cannot be done. So if you're here this morning, you need to come to Jesus. We'd love to have a conversation with you about what it means to come to Christ, to follow him, right? To throw yourself fully on his mercy. Or maybe you're here this morning and you just need to return to Jesus. Right? You came to Jesus some time ago, but you have been drifting off for a while. Right? This morning is the invitation to come. Draw near. He's not put off. He's not embarrassed. He's not going to turn up his nose in disgust, right? Jesus knew who and what he was purchasing on the cross. And he doesn't have buyer's remorse. He doesn't, right? So repent, return, receive the grace that is available to you this morning. All right, would you pray with me? Father, we come to you and we are Lord, just grateful for Jesus, to know that we, all of us in this room, either currently are or at one point were in the same condition as this leper. We were unclean, outcast, cut off, not allowed to draw near. We thank you for the good news of Jesus, the cross, the empty tomb, that Jesus willingly endured the punishment that we deserve so that through him we could be reconciled into relationship with you. We thank you for sending your son near to us, right, to take on our shame, to take on our sin, to take on our uncleanness, and to give to us in exchange his perfect righteousness. And we confess, Lord, that is our only hope, is the perfect righteousness of Jesus accounted to us. And so, Father, this morning I pray just very specifically, if there's someone here this morning that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus and received his righteousness, that today would be the day of salvation for them. And I pray that you would save people today. And then, Father, for what I would assume, I don't know, but what I would assume would be more in the room. Lord, who have maybe wandered or strayed or living in a season of sin and rebellion, but feel compelled to come home, but also just feel ashamed of who they are and what they've done. I pray, Lord, that they would see that you are not put off by them. You're not embarrassed. You're not disgusted, that you sent Jesus into this world not to condemn the world, but in order that we might be saved through him. And I pray that you would, Lord, move your people to respond to your word in repentance this morning. Father, lavish us in your grace and mercy. We need it. We love you. We praise you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.